Chapter 23. A discovery and a chase. The supper was ready laid. The chairs were drawn round the table. Bottles, jugs, and glasses were arranged upon the sideboard, and everything betokened the approach of the most convivial period in the whole 24 hours. Where's Rachel? Said Mr. Wardle. Eh, and Jingle? Added Mr. Pickwick. Dear me, said the host, I wonder I haven't missed him before. Why, I don't think I've heard his voice for 2 hours at least. Emily, my dear, ring the bell. The bell was rung, and the fat boy appeared. Where's Miss Rachel? He couldn't say. Where's Mr. Jingle then? He didn't know. Everybody looked surprised. It was late past 11 o'clock. Mr. Tupman laughed in his sleeve. They were loitering somewhere, talking about him. Ha, ha. Capital notion that funny. Never mind, said Wardle, after a short pause. They'll turn up presently, I dare say. I never wait supper for anybody. Excellent rule, that, said Mr. Pickwick, admirable. Pray, sit down, said the host. Certainly, said Mr. Pickwick. And down they sat. There was a gigantic round of cold beef on the table, and Mr. Pickwick was supplied with a plentiful portion of it. He had raised his fork to his lips, and was on the very point of opening his mouth for the reception of a piece of beef, when the hum of many voices suddenly arose in the kitchen. He paused, and laid down his fork. Mr. Wardle paused too, and insensibly released his hold of the carving knife, which remained inserted in the beef. He looked at Mr. Pickwick. Mr. Pickwick looked at him. Heavy footsteps were heard in the passage. The parlor door was suddenly burst open, and the man who had cleaned Mr. Pickwick's boots on his first arrival rushed into the room, followed by the fat boy and all the domestics. What the devil's the meaning of this? Exclaimed the host. The kitchen chimney ain't a fire, is it, Emma? Inquired the old lady. Lord, Grandma. No, screamed both the young ladies. What's the matter? Roared the master of the house. The man gasped for breath, and faintly ejaculated, they ha gone, master. Gone right clean off, sir. At this juncture Mr. Tupman was observed to lay down his knife and fork, and to turn very pale. Who's gone? Said Mr. Wardle fiercely. Miss Jingle and Miss Rachel, in a poche, from Blue Lion, Muggleton. I was there, but I couldn't stop 'em, so I run off to tell 'ee. I paid his expenses. Said Mr. Tupman, jumping up frantically. He's got £10 of mine. Stop him. He swindled me. I won't bear it. I'll have justice, Pickwick. I won't stand it. And with sundry incoherent exclamations of the like nature, the unhappy gentleman spun round and round the apartment, in a transport of frenzy. Lord preserve us! Ejaculated Mr. Pickwick, eyeing the extraordinary gestures of his friend with terrified surprise. He's gone mad. What shall we do? Said the stout old host, who regarded only the last words of the sentence. Put the horse in the gig. I'll get a chaise at the Lion, and follow him instantly. Where? He exclaimed, as the man ran out to execute the commission. Where's that villain, Joe? Here I am, but I ain't a villain, replied a voice. It was the fat boy's. Let me get at him, Pickwick, cried Wardle, as he rushed at the ill-starred youth. He was bribed by that scoundrel, Jingle, to put me on a wrong scent, by telling a cock and bull story of my sister and dear friend Tupman. Here Mr. Tupman sank into a chair. Let me get at him. Don't let him. apostrophe apostrophe screamed all the women, above whose exclamations the blubbering of the fat boy was distinctly audible. I won't be held. Apostrophe apostrophe cried the old man. Apostrophe Mr. Winkle, take your hands off. Mr. Pickwick, let me go, sir. Apostrophe, it was a beautiful sight, in that moment of turmoil and confusion, to behold the placid and philosophical expression of Mr. Pickwick's face, albeit somewhat flushed with exertion, as he stood with his arms firmly clasped round the extensive waist of their corpulent host, thus restraining the impetuosity of his passion, while the fat boy was scratched, and pulled, and pushed from the room by all the females congregated there. He had no sooner released his hold, than the man entered to announce that the gig was ready. Don't let him go alone. Apostrophe apostrophe screamed the females. He'll kill somebody. Apostrophe apostrophe, I'll go with him, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. You're a good fellow, Pickwick, apostrophe said the host, grasping his hand. Emma, give Mr. Pickwick a shawl to tie round his neck, make haste. Look after your grandmother, girls, she has fainted away. Now then, are you ready? Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick's mouth and chin having been hastily enveloped in a large shawl, his hat having been put on his head, and his greatcoat thrown over his arm, he replied in the affirmative. They jumped into the gig. Give her her head, Tom, apostrophe cried the host, and away they went, down the narrow lanes, jolting in and out of the cart ruts, and bumping up against the edges on either side, as if they would go to pieces every moment. How much are they ahead? Apostrophe apostrophe shouted Wardle, as they drove up to the door of the Blue Lion, round which a little crowd had collected, late as it was. Not above 3/4 of an hour, apostrophe was everybody's reply. Chaise and four directly, out with them. Put up the gig afterwards. Apostrophe, now, boys. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the landlord. Chaise and four out, make haste, look alive there. Apostrophe, apostrophe, away ran the hostlers and the boys. The lanterns glimmered, as the men ran to and fro. The horses' hoofs clattered on the uneven paving of the yard. The chaise rumbled as it was drawn out of the coach house, and all was noise and bustle. Now then, is that chaise coming out tonight? Apostrophe cried Wardle. Coming down the yard now, sir, apostrophe replied the hostler. Out came the chaise, in went the horses, on sprang the boys, in got the travelers. Mind the 7-mile stage in less than half an hour. Apostrophe apostrophe shouted Wardle. Off with you. Apostrophe apostrophe, the boys applied whip and spur, the waiters shouted, the hostlers cheered, and away they went, fast and furiously. Pretty situation, apostrophe thought Mr. Pickwick, when he had had a moment's time for reflection. Pretty situation for the general chairman of the Pickwick Club. Damp chaise, strange horses, 15 miles an hour and 12 o'clock at night. Apostrophe apostrophe, for the first 3 or 4 miles, not a word was spoken by either of the gentlemen, each being too much immersed in his own reflections to address any observations to his companion. When they had gone over that much ground, however, and the horses getting thoroughly warm began to do their work in really good style, Mr. Pickwick became too much exhilarated with the rapidity of the motion to remain any longer perfectly mute. We're sure to catch them, I think, apostrophe said he. Hope so, apostrophe replied his companion. Fine night, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, looking up at the moon, which was shining brightly. So much the worse, apostrophe returned Wardle, for they'll have had all the advantage of the moonlight to get the start of us, and we shall lose it. It will have gone down in another hour. Apostrophe, it will be rather unpleasant going at this rate in the dark, won't it? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick. I dare say it will, apostrophe replied his friend dryly. Mr. Pickwick's temporary excitement began to sober down a little, as he reflected upon the inconveniences and dangers of the expedition in which he had so thoughtlessly embarked. He was roused by a loud shouting of the postboy on the leader. Yo, 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 yo. Apostrophe, apostrophe went the first boy. Yo, 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 yo. Apostrophe, apostrophe went the second. Yo, 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 yo. Apostrophe, apostrophe chimed in old Wardle himself, most lustily, with his head and half his body out of the coach window. Yo, 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 yo. Apostrophe, apostrophe shouted Mr. Pickwick, taking up the burden of the cry, though he had not the slightest notion of its meaning or object. And amidst the yo-yoing of the whole four, the chaise stopped. What's the matter? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick. There's a gate here, apostrophe replied old Wardle. We shall hear something of the fugitives. Apostrophe, after a lapse of 5 minutes, consumed in incessant knocking and shouting, an old man in his shirt and trousers emerged from the turnpike house and opened the gate. How long is it since a post chaise went through here? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired Mr. Wardle. How long? Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, I don't rightly know. It weren't a long time ago, nor it weren't a short time ago, just between the two, perhaps. Apostrophe, has any chaise been by at all? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, yes, there's been a chaise by. Apostrophe, how long ago, my friend? Apostrophe interposed Mr. Pickwick. An hour? Apostrophe, ah, I dare say it might be, apostrophe replied the man. Or 2 hours. Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired the postboy on the wheeler. Well, I shouldn't wonder if it was, apostrophe returned the old man doubtfully. Drive on, boys, apostrophe cried the testy old gentleman. Don't waste any more time with that old idiot. Apostrophe, apostrophe, idiot. Apostrophe, apostrophe exclaimed the old man with a grin, as he stood in the middle of the road with the gate half closed, watching the chaise which rapidly diminished in the increasing distance. No, not much o' that either. You've lost 10 minutes here, and gone away as wise as you came, arter all. If every man on the line as has a guinea give him, earns it half as well, you won't catch t'other chaise this side Michaelmas, old short and fat. Apostrophe and with another prolonged grin, the old man closed the gate, re-entered his house, and bolted the door after him. Meanwhile the chaise proceeded, without any slackening of pace, towards the conclusion of the stage. The moon, as Wardle had foretold, was rapidly on the wane. Large tiers of dark, heavy clouds, which had been gradually overspreading the sky for some time past, now formed one black mass overhead, and large drops of rain which pattered every now and then against the windows of the chaise, seemed to warn the travelers of the rapid approach of a stormy night. The wind too, which was directly against them, swept in furious gusts down the narrow road, and howled dismally through the trees which skirted the pathway. Mr. Pickwick drew his coat closer about him, coiled himself more snugly up into the corner of the chaise, and fell into a sound sleep, from which he was only awakened by the stopping of the vehicle, the sound of the hostler's bell, and a loud cry of horses on directly. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but here another delay occurred. The boys were sleeping with such mysterious soundness, that it took 5 minutes apiece to wake them. The hostler had somehow or other mislaid the key of the stable, and even when that was found, two sleepy helpers put the wrong harness on the wrong horses, and the whole process of harnessing had to be gone through afresh. Had Mr. Pickwick been alone, these multiplied obstacles would have completely put an end to the pursuit at once, but old Wardle was not to be so easily daunted, and he laid about him with such hearty goodwill, cuffing this man, and pushing that, strapping a buckle here, and taking in a link there, that the chaise was ready in a much shorter time than could reasonably have been expected, under so many difficulties. They resumed their journey, and certainly the prospect before them was by no means encouraging. The stage was 15 miles long, the night was dark, the wind high, and the rain pouring in torrents. It was impossible to make any great way against such obstacles united. It was hard upon 1 o'clock already, and nearly 2 hours were consumed in getting to the end of the stage. Here, however, an object presented itself, which rekindled their hopes, and reanimated their drooping spirits. When did this chaise come in? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried old Wardle, leaping out of his own vehicle, and pointing to one covered with wet mud, which was standing in the yard. Not a quarter of an hour ago, sir, apostrophe, replied the hostler, to whom the question was addressed. Lady and gentlemen? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Wardle, almost breathless with impatience. Yes, sir. Apostrophe, tall gentleman, dress coat, long legs, thin body? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, sir. Apostrophe, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.